You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday, Game 5 night, as we call it, Andy. It's Game 5 tonight, and it is it's a big one.
Yeah. This could very well be the whole damn series, Brian.
The whole shebang, as they say. So much to talk about, so much to anticipate with Tuesday night's game. Are we going to pretend that Anthony Davis is going to play?
Not. Here's the thing. He has not been ruled out. The possibility has seemingly been left open for him to play. It does not sound like he's going to play. Frank Vogel described him as literally day to day, but that was an acknowledgement of basically, we don't really know how this is going to play out. Therefore, there's not even really enough information to give him that type of definitive status. I would be shocked if he played in this game. Happily shocked, but shocked.
Sure, especially if he can actually get out there and look good. But obviously, the implications for Davis not being in the lineup for Game 5 runs throughout everything we're going to talk about on today's show. But certainly, in terms of the strategy of it, the must-winness of it, what it means potentially for the series being extended, a lot of that we'll get into in our third segment. We'll also talk about, Andy, in our second segment, about who needs to step up. Which players become even more important without Anthony Davis in the lineup. We'll do that in our second segment. We'll really start, though, with LeBron James, because that's what this game fundamentally is about now. It is about LeBron James and whether or not he can do the thing that he does sometimes in the playoffs, which is basically take a team, put it on his back, and carry it places it might not supposed to be able to go. Might not be able, if that makes sense.
Yeah, obviously there's a track record of him doing it, but there's just never been a track record of him doing it at age 36, coming pretty closely off a high, severe ankle sprain.
Right, he's got his own health problems. Let's start there. I do want to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me and Andy this week, Friday, noon Pacific, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. I mentioned that at the end of Monday's show, that like nuclear LeBron was kind of the blueprint for Tuesday's game. And by that, I mean one of these games where he goes for 30 points, 11 assists, 12 assists, a dozen rebounds, whatever it might be, and just dominates the game and dictates the play in ways that he has, like you say, done throughout in the past. But critical to that isn't just, is LeBron physically capable, Andy? It's what can the Lakers do to facilitate that? What lineups can they put out? Who can they play? How can they play? And I think that really is the question that Frank Vogel and his staff ought to be asking themselves going into Tuesday's game.
Well, one of the things that could enable LeBron to do that is going to be the availability of KCP. Because if he missed game four dealing with that quad injury, yep. And it sounded like he was pretty close to being able to go in game four. And I am cautiously optimistic that he's going to be available to play in game five. KCP's availability is going to make it so much easier for, I think, that nuclear version of LeBron, in part because of his ability to run the floor, to space the floor, even in a wicked shooting slump that he's in. I think he has a certain degree of gravity, but either way, he creates pressure just through the way he gets up and down the floor. Yeah. And in the meantime, too, his disruptiveness, his ability to create deflections, ignite that fast break in his own right. These are, again, all things that create the nuclear LeBron, because there may be no more nuclear LeBron than LeBron in transition.
Yeah, and it's you talk about KCP, who's got, I believe, one three-pointer in this series and has shot the ball extremely poorly. Somebody's going to have to make shots. I talked about it just a second ago.
Brian, a robust 7.7%.
I think it's one of 13 from three-point range.
And growing very hesitant, by the way, to even shoot.
Yeah, it only took two in game three because I don't think he felt terribly confident. Someone, for LeBron to end up with 13, 12, 13, 14 assists, someone is going to have to make a shot. And we're going to get into guys that we think are good candidates for, if we're knocking down shots, for taking some pressure off, whatever it is, as we go forward in the episode. But, you know, fundamentally, it's Wes Matthews, it's Kyle Kuzma, it's KCP, it's Marc Gasol. Guys are going to have to hit outside shots. The Lakers can't win Tuesday's game shooting 26% from three-point range. You know, having one of these games, I don't think they can.
Looked up some numbers, Brian, in terms of three-point shooting for this team. The list of Lakers in this series, guys who are definitively in the rotation shooting 38% or above in the playoffs. This is the list. Marc Gasol, the Wolf.
Who's at like 60. He's knocking him down.
Marc Gasol, the Wolf, and El Lobo. That is the list. That is the list of Lakers shooting 38% or above. It is Marc Gasol and all of his nicknames.
Right. Do you know what that means, though, Andy? Everyone else is due.
Jesus, are they due? My
but like, you God. Know, but we laugh about KCP and the shooting slump.
They're not due. They're like drug sick, desperate.
It's pretty bad. But like KCP like is
in their veins.
KCP is as likely as anybody on this roster to go, you know, 5 of 7 after going 1 of 13. Like, that's sort of the narrative of KCP. That's the arc of his time as a Laker, is holy crap, he is terrible. Oh my God, KCP, he's awesome. Keep feeding him the ball. Like, there's no real rhyme or reason to any of this stuff.
That's how he's going to get his small statue.
Exactly. So, you know, that's part of it. Is the ability, like, these guys around him are going to need to be able to hit three-point shots. And I don't even mean that in the, you know, segment we're going to get to before we're done, which is, you know, who's got to really play a prominent role in this. That's just one of the things that needs to be a given. I'd be shocked if they win on Tuesday in game five without shooting 34, 35% from three. Something really extraordinary would have to happen in terms of them getting to the free throw line 40 times, or, you know, playing defense that is just ungodly good, or shooting 65% from 2-point range, whatever it might be. Something weird is going to have to happen for them to shoot as badly as they have from the perimeter and still win game five.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the shooting, you're talking about the spacing and the guys they put on the floor, but also too, like, the ability to create quality looks for each other, mm-hmm. and, you know, find ways to do that. That's not entirely LeBron centric. It's obviously going to fall a lot on LeBron because he's the best playmaker on this team by a really wide margin, but they've got to be looking for cleaner, more efficient offense mm-hmm. in general. With that in mind, I don't know for sure if Frank Vogel would do this, but I think they have to be seriously considering starting Marc Gasol, or at the very least, starting Marc Gasol's minutes much earlier in the first quarter.
Let's talk about that. But let's do that next, because what you're talking about here is fundamentally the lineup that is most beneficial to LeBron. It is no longer about Andre Drummond, or is he playing well, or is it Harrell? It's like everything about game five is what's better for LeBron. And so what center rotation, starting, backup, playing time, all of it is better for the Lakers and LeBron James? We'll do that next.
This episode brought to you by Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. This app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, Brian, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. In this case, the Lakers. We will be hosting rooms for Locked On Lakers once a week, Friday, noon Pacific. You can finally join in the conversation you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to join, start conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to big news and rumors. Go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter, join the group for the latest league updates. Follow us at Cam Brothers to be notified when the room goes live. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, that is noon, Fridays, 12 Pacific. We're going to be there every single week. You want to hear everyone's thoughts on the Lakers. Assuming you do not act like a jackass, we may actually let you talk in this thing. Last week, we had a lot of speakers up there. It was a lot of fun. So definitely be there. Locker room changing the way we talk about sports.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Rock Auto. I am not a car guy, Andy, necessarily, but there are a few things I've kind of figured out, but I'm not really super confident when I walk into a store. It's easy to kind of shake me up a little bit. Is this the best part? Do I need a different part? Can I really do this by myself? I don't want a bunch of questions thrown at me by some guy behind a counter who wants to steer me in a certain direction because that's the only part he has, or he's trying to offload something or whatever it is.
Sucker, Brian, let's be honest.
I don't want to do that, neither do you. Chain stores dealing with all those price tiers that professional mechanics have, and then do it for do-it-yourselfers like myself. Rock Auto doesn't do that. The prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They've got everything that you're going to need, everything I'm going to need to get your car stuff done. So you go to rockauto.com and you see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs, 95 calories, we can enjoy all the games a little more this season.
And hopefully there'll be a few more, Andy, for the Lakers going forward, because I mean, this is really, without exaggerating, a super precarious moment for the Lakers. They can't possibly be favored. Again, two games on the road, probably, if this game series goes seven, an absent or limited Anthony Davis, a somewhat limited LeBron James still. This is a major uphill fight that the Lakers have facing them going forward. I mean, I don't think fans should delude themselves. Not that they can't win, but it's a real task.
Yeah, I mean, this is as must win as a playoff game gets without being a literal elimination.
Right.
And it's weird to be thinking about that for a defending champion team, or for like LeBron, who is undefeated, I think 14-0 in his playoff career in the first round. I mean, these are unusual places to find the Lakers in, particularly, with all the expectations heading into the season. But through circumstances largely beyond their own control, this is where they are.
Luck has always, for every team that wins a title, luck plays an extraordinary role. And the Lakers were relatively lucky last year. I don't mean that in a way that they didn't earn it, but they got some good breaks, as all teams do when they win. And this year they are not getting those same breaks, and it's showing. So you alluded to it before we broke. A lot of what the Lakers are going to be doing in game five, in terms of trying to construct something that maximizes LeBron, makes LeBron as potent as he can possibly be, starts with who's in the middle and who's playing center. And I agree with you. This, as much as Marc Gasol can play in game five, he needs to play. Because they need to open up the floor, not just for LeBron to put the ball down and go get it, go to the rack, but Dennis Schroeder, for Kyle Kuzma to cut, for guys to go back door, to get up and down, whatever it is, they've got to open up the floor as much as they possibly can. And you can't do that with Andre Drummond.
Yeah, I also think too, like, you and I are both pretty consistent with the opinion that by and large, who starts games is overrated. What matters a lot more is floor combinations and who closes games. Like that.
Correct.
That's the last 5 minutes are typically way more important than the first five. But in this particular scenario that the Lakers are dealing with, I actually think the starting lineup is much more important than normal, mm-hmm. because given all the offensive struggles the Lakers have had in the best of times during this series, their offense has often been really inconsistent, and they've relied on their defense to carry them through. And the inability they've had at times to create good offense, the lack of facilitating that's going on, they cannot afford to fight this game from behind. I'm not saying they can't win if that happens, but my God, you don't want to make this any harder than it right. has to be. With that in mind, Marc Gasol is far more capable of just making easier offense for everybody else. Like, forget the spacing differences, forget the way the floor dimensions, all of that stuff. Just in terms of making offense easier, Marc Gasol is a better option than Drummond. And I think the start in this game is so critical.
The only thing that I 1,000% agree. That's how much do I agree? 1,000%, despite the fact there's really only 100 of them. I'm in that strong of agreement. The only questions I have about this is you have to stagger guys in a way. LeBron's not going to play 48 minutes. He's probably going to play 40, but he's not going to play 48. And you have to, Frank Vogel talked about it on Monday in the Lakers media availability, talked about winning whatever amount of minutes LeBron doesn't play. They've got to win those minutes, or at the very least, they can't get crushed in them. I'd settle for that. I mean, to be perfectly honest.
Oh no, trading baskets for like the 7-6 minutes that LeBron doesn't play in this game—that's
right.
winning.
If he plays 40 minutes and in the 8 minutes, they're -4. Great, that is a massive win. You've got to be able to figure out how can you get enough playmaking on the floor while LeBron isn't there, and that might mean. Generating offense by having Andre Drummond out there to gobble up misses or something. Sure. We talked about the sort of the Argo theory. There are a lot of bad ideas the Lakers are going to have to do, and they just have to choose the best one because none of this is ideal. They have to stagger the playmaking that Gasol can bring across the game, and they also need to make sure that he can finish it because there is a 0% chance to me that if there's a center on the floor in the final minutes of the game that it won't be Marc Gasol. I could see them going with some sort of incredibly small lineup, maybe where LeBron functions as the big, Morris or something like that.
The only scenario I can think of where you have Drummond on the floor to close the game is just DeAndre Ayton's size is giving them so much trouble. They are forced to have Drummond out. Yeah, or it's just become clear Gasol isn't handling it well.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked if there is a center on the floor, and I think there probably will be. It'll be Marc Gasol. And you've got to be able to get him through the game to where he can play 8 strong minutes at the end of it. But I agree with you. The start of this game, this is something we'll get to a little bit in the last segment, the start of this game matters a lot. And you don't want to put yourself in a position where you have to generate a lot of all. I know they came back a little bit in the fourth quarter of game 4. That's not necessarily all, just magic lineups and stuff like that. We've seen the Lakers do that where you feel like you're comfortably ahead, the team behind is beaten up and, kind of looks like they're ready to pack it in. You've just had, if you're Phoenix, the best quarter they've had in the entire postseason, that third quarter of game 4, 27-15, they outscored the Lakers. I think they got a little bit complacent. That said, Gasol had 3 assists. He had 3 blocks. I think he had another one of his threes in that quarter. That's clearly the lineup that works the best. I don't know what they have by way of a plan B in this. It may actually be going even smaller rather than trying Drummond or Trez.
It could be. I mean, one of the things I think they can do in terms of spreading around, Gasol's presence and that playmaking and, trying whatever balance there is between LeBron being out there, Schroeder being out there, Gasol being out there as the, primary secondary playmaker is I think THT needs run in the series. I think he needs run in this game. Like anybody who can either provide pressure at the rim or provide some degree of playmaking, some degree of dynamic scoring, some degree of dynamic presence, period, I think needs to be in there, particularly if Drummond or Trez end up playing, whichever.
I know you're making this point. Do you think Trez plays in game 5?
I don't know. I, I,
I'm trying. I did Spectrum, the Lakers TV station, their home network. I did their studio show on Monday, and that was one of the questions that came up. And
I think a lot of it depends on who else is out there. Because if you're looking at a lineup in that second unit that has, say, THT in it and also has Ben McLemore in it, and depending on who else is out there, like another neutral to minus defender, you may not be able to put Trez out there. Like, you may need to play either Keith as a small center or play Andre Drummond off the bench just to have some type of defensive backbone, because that just isn't Trez. Like, if you've got enough defenders out there, and we saw this a lot in the first half when the team was largely healthy, you can protect Trez out there. Like, you can find ways to make it work with him defensively. But in this particular scenario, depending on who else is out there, depending on how much need there is for scoring, and you know, that which means the McLemore option potentially, you know, assuming they give him the ball. they have been very reluctant to give Ben McLemore the ball for a guy that the only reason he is out there is to shoot said ball. But
I feel like, honestly, Andy, we used to refer to like the Deion Waiters moments last season as like sort of emergency kind of like, oh, well, let's try that. Let's see if that works. And like, Ben McLemore feels more experimental to me than that. Even like, I feel like Deion, you could at least count on, like, Deion could playmake a little bit.
Well,
like, for you and all that stuff.
Deion Waiters can playmake a little bit. He can score a little bit. He can do more things, regardless of how well
dribble.
You think. Right. He can work off the dribble more. Like, he can do more things, at least in theory, as you know, on paper, as you know, like a talk yourself into it scenario. Deion Waiters can do that. He can do more things than Ben McLemore can do. And compared to McLemore defensively, Waiters is prime Ron Artest.
Right.
Like, he is.
Ben McLemore has a, to sort of paraphrase, Taken, has a very specialized set of skills. So specialized,
it's
one thing. It's so specialized, it's been narrowed down to one thing.
He has a very particular set of skill.
Yes. Skill.
He doesn't, exactly. There's no plural. Don't put the
right.
S on there.
Right.
But I think there has to be a premium in this game on playmaking and generating offense.
I agree. And I've been trying to figure out, like, I do think there is a place potentially for Harrell in this game, but I also think that you're going to need to play Drummond because Gasol can't go 40 minutes, and Ayton is probably going to play 40 minutes of this game. So you're going to see Drummond because you can't put Trez out there. And I just feel like the problem with both Trez and with McLemore, for example, is we've seen it. And I would really encourage people to go to Cranjus McBasketball and Mo DeKeel and Laker Film Room and all of these guys who do some really great video stuff, put out some great numbers. Go to their Twitter feeds, go scroll through them. We'll try to tweet them out as well. For some of these, both some of these numbers, Cranjus, Tim_NBA has put out a lot of the great stuff about Gasol and how effective LeBron has been, but also just the way that Phoenix is able to hunt guys like McLemore, guys like Harrell and all that. They will exploit that very quickly, especially if CP is able to play. So I think you got to be real careful because a quick 6-0 run, 8-0 run, 10-2 run for Phoenix in 90 seconds, that could be the kind of thing that swings a game in game five. So that's all stuff to look forward to. Andy, I have a theory. Lakers fans, I think, are feeling a little down. Would you agree? The mood is down.
It's certainly tense.
It's tense. People are a little upset. I have a theory about how this could go better for the Lakers than people expect, and why game five is actually a game where the Lakers might be able to take advantage slightly of Anthony Davis's absence.
I'm intrigued.
I'm going to tell you about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at Bet Online this week. As always, tons of sports action on the go. Get all the latest news, odds, info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your mobile device, laptop. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams are neck deep in the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, so before we get to my theory, Andy, because which is, I'll be honest with you, trying to generate some optimism. You and I both want this series to keep going. We want the Lakers to keep going through the playoffs. We alluded to it before that, you know, somebody's going to need to step up in these games, not to get hyper cliche-ish, but guys are going to have to produce that haven't necessarily been asked to produce over the course of this series. If you had to pick one guy, I mean, because obviously the answer is everybody's got to do something. But like, if you had to pick one guy who you are really focused on, who are you looking at?
Dennis Schroeder. I was looking up some of his numbers in the series, and his stats are more or less the same in wins or losses, except a couple that jumped out at me. In the two Laker wins this series, Schroeder scored 20 or more. Mm-hmm. And in the two losses, 14 or fewer. His usage rate is in the 20s or higher in the two wins, and it's below 20 in both losses. Last two games, he's been combined three of 10 from three. No trips to the line in the game four loss. We are talking about how much they need effective, clean, pressure-creating offense. And Schroeder is one of the few guys on this team who can score and create and attack the rim. And depending on how much Frank Vogel trusts or does not trust THT, that number may be just him and LeBron. And this is a massive game in terms of what they need from Schroeder. We've seen how dynamic the Lakers can look when Schroeder's playing at the top of his game. Plus two, Brian, this is a big game for Schroeder professionally.
I was about to say, like this, we spent a lot of time talking about it both on this show and our previous one. Like when AD and LeBron went out, what that meant for Schroeder. I thought generally he proved his value. He certainly had a few week stretch or whatever it was where he was excellent. This is a big deal. Like if you're signing a guy to a long-term deal to be that your third dude, then you need to be able to know that he can step up and play and produce in moments like these, because that's why you're keeping him around.
Well, I mean, look, he turned down a pretty big extension, which led to him getting included in trade talks, most notably for Kyle Lowry. He was reportedly pretty pissed off by being included in those talks. He's been in the COVID protocols twice. He's been very cagey about what happened,
I think he likes it there.
Well, I mean,
he did not test positive, but he also can't get it again.
Right. And still has not confused. Been vaccinated. Like he's, right. But here's the thing too. And which I bring up the protocols because of the point that I'm about to make. In neither case, when Schroeder ended up in the protocol, has he taken any outward responsibility for the situation? Like if anything, he's projected annoyance, like he's the victim. You know, in terms of landing
just, that he's even being asked about it,
right? That he's even being asked to do it, like he's being put upon, and you know, without knowing all the details of what happened, because again, he's only offering explanations that make no sense whatsoever. These are all, I think they're all elements of just onus and responsibility, and this is a big ass game for him to prove that he is the top flight point guard that he sees himself as. That he said he is when he said, I am a starter in this league. There's been times this season where he's looked like that, and there's been times this season, right, to be honest, and where he hasn't.
And it's a specific kind of starter. It's a starter on a team where LeBron is essentially your point guard, that he fits in perfectly here. And, you know, and also, too, like to go back to the Gasol thing, that's another reason you need Gasol on the floor, because you've got to figure out ways to get Andre Drummond to the paint, or to Dennis Schroeder to the basket. And that's another one. I mean, where you know, and he's done it a little bit with Drummond as well. But like, you've got to open up lanes, and Schroeder has to get to the line. He has to be aggressive. He's got to put pressure on Phoenix's defense off the dribble. And I completely agree with you.
And they need, by the way, a big game for him guarding either Chris Paul or Devin Booker.
Well, this is where, this is where having KCP back, having Caruso, all these guys, like, that takes a little bit of the pressure off of Schroeder, who is a very hard worker on that side of the ball. But what you're asking guys to do to contain Booker, to contain CP while going and playing a lot of offense is hard. They have enough. If KCP plays, they have a lot of bodies. They can throw both those guys. Mm-hmm. And so
they've done a good job on Booker.
They have a very good job. And that actually is a decent seg. Is one of the guys that's popped up on periodically as the Lakers have been very switchy and been able to do a lot of stuff is Kyle Kuzma. And we have spent a lot of time this season talking and praising Kuzma for all the other stuff that he's been doing. He's become a better defender. He's become a better passer. His rebounding is better. His energy off the bench, all of these things, generally speaking throughout the season, not this postseason, but through the season, he shot the ball better. You know, his perimeter, his outside shot, three-point range was better this year. The one thing that we've always been de-emphasizing with Kuz, because they haven't needed it, is scoring. Go be something bigger than a scorer, something better than that, more well-rounded. On this team, your scoring isn't that big of a deal. That's not why you're going to get paid. Game five, he's got to score. he's averaging, I think, 4 points a game in this series. Like that, they need, I suspect he'll start. That's been what Vogel has generally done when AD's out of lineup, is he bumps Kuz up there.
I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't.
They need 14 points from him.
Like, especially, by the way, considering Markieff Morris just hasn't played well.
It's just been, right.
He'd be the only other option, regardless of who's the center.
Correct.
And Keith just hasn't played well.
I agree with you. And you know, Kuz is a more versatile player right now than Morris is, because as bad as he's been offensive, he's been better than Markieff. And he does more things. He moves off the ball better. He cuts. He's a better ball handler. All that stuff. Game five is a game where he's got to score, and I'm not talking 50 points or take 26 shots or whatever. But 7 points isn't going to cut it. So I'm very much interested in Kuz, who I think has had a really good season. And actually, for all the talk of how bad his scoring has been, he's done a lot of positive stuff through four games of the playoffs. But Tuesday night, he needs to do both.
Yeah, I mean, this game, I mean, it's we've talked a lot about how the evolution of Kuzma as a non counting stats guy has ultimately made him a more valuable player than when you could look at the counting stats. This is a game where he's got to be a counting stat.
Got to count some stats here. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So one of the things that I know we want to talk about, we'll do this on the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel, is kind of what game five and the rest of this series could mean for LeBron and his legacy, where leading the Lakers would fit in kind of the legend of LeBron. So we'll do that. We'll do that on the YouTube channel. So make sure you're subscribing to Locked On Lakers on YouTube for stuff like that. I want to finish on my theory.
Please.
A lot of times when a player gets hurt, this isn't one of those most dangerous animals, a wounded animal kind of thing. I don't believe in that. Wounded animals get eaten, generally speaking. They get killed and eaten quickly. That's what happens to wounded animals.
There's a reason that the saying survival of the weakest hasn't taken off.
Right. Survival of the wounded? Nope. Yeah. That's not a thing.
Survival of the damn near dead,
right?
Hasn't taken off.
The most dangerous animal in the animal kingdom is not a wounded animal.
No, the most dangerous one is the healthy one, biggest teeth, strongest, that has you, the wounded animal, at a disadvantage.
I will say, I hate that expression. I will say, really hate it. In sports, though, it is not uncommon to see when a team loses a player like Davis, you lose a star, whatever it might be, those first few games, those first few moments that you have without the guy, teams play surprisingly well. And that's, I think, a combination of focus and effort know, you are that much more dialed in when you know you're missing a star. Everybody's got to be on point. Everybody. So I think that's a lot of it. The other thing that I do think is at least worth considering is the Lakers are a radically different team in this particular case. The Lakers are a radically different team without Davis. They are not the team that Phoenix has been preparing for. They're not the team that they have been scouting. I understand that there's a little bit of tape. The Lakers have played a lot without AD this year. There is a chance that Phoenix, because there's some unknown going on here, that the Lakers can come out and do some things and at least get a jump on this game, because Phoenix isn't quite sure what's coming. That is my optimistic take on game five. Is it horse pucky?
Well, if I may paraphrase the iconic Mike Francesa in the movie Uncut Gems, well, I'll tell you what I know. It's the dumbest effing theory I've ever heard of. That is a really dumb theory, man. Like, how hard is it to figure out what the Lakers are going to be doing in this game without Anthony Davis? Like, there's no element of surprise when you become worse and when it becomes more obvious. I mean, like, unless what you're thinking they're going to do is, hey, you know, point guard Devontae Kaycock. Like, I think Phoenix has a pretty good idea of how the Lakers are going to address this. I mean, maybe it's an issue of which center starts. I mean, like something like that. I don't know. But I think ultimately Phoenix is going to be pretty prepared for how the Lakers are going to do this, because I think if you and I coached Phoenix, we might be able to prepare them for what the Lakers are going to do. It's going to be about, like what you said earlier, the Lakers just have to execute in the most mistake-free way possible. They have to take care of the ball. They have to actually act like possessions matter, you know, and not piss them away.
I was, again, I'm trying to find some positivity here going into game five that people feel bad. I'm not 100% sure I believed that, but I was looking for, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this though. You said this, that this is as close to a must win game as a non-elimination game can be, because I do think the Lakers will probably be, if there is any confusion or mystery or anything from the bag of tricks or something like that that they can pull out, it's going to be in game five, because by game six, they'll have, you know, in seven, whatever, Phoenix will be more prepared for it. They'll have more counters ready. Also, if you can win game five, you can perhaps take some of the pressure off game six and maybe let AD sit that one, kind of punt it, see if you can steal a win at Staples Center, whatever it might be, and put all of it on to game seven and hopefully have Davis back on the floor for that. You obviously don't have that luxury if you lose game five. So this is super. I was just looking for something. God, you're a killjoy.
Here's the actual optimism that isn't forced. The Lakers, a lot of what went wrong for them in game four, beyond Anthony Davis starting the game, obviously laboring and then not being able to finish, and KCP's absence, a lot of what went wrong for them was within their own control. If they look to control it, they can actually win this game, and that is not forced optimism.
Well, they can absolutely win. I do not think their chances are zero. They are too good defensively to write off of any series. They are that good on defense.
That is my non-forced optimistic view of what could happen in game five if Anthony Davis does not play. I think they have to play as mistake-free as possible and crank up all their strengths.
You got to hit a three-pointer. All right, so some more YouTube stuff coming on Tuesday ahead of game five. Obviously, all the analysis after game five for Wednesday's episode of Locked On Lakers. It's going to be an interesting one. We'll see what happens, and we'll see everybody on Wednesday.